We've been going through the book of Acts in this season of post-Easter, and now we get to the passage, Acts 16, verse 9 through 15, where the gospel crosses a boundary from Asia into Europe. Acts 16. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, we went out onto Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends of God, ministry, as we've seen so clearly this morning, is a group effort. We all bring something to the picture of the growing church, the growing kingdom of God. You know, this is Paul's second missionary journey, and we commonly, and everybody speaks of it as Paul's missionary journey. You Google Paul's second missionary journey, and you see where Paul went. You know, Paul was the leader of the journey, and he had a special role in that missionary journey, so you're not wrong to call it Paul's missionary journey. And yet, he wasn't alone, and his success was not his own. For one thing, his success relied entirely on the work of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus going before them and opening hearts and connecting them with people. So without the work of the Holy Spirit, nothing would be successful for Paul. But humanly speaking, Paul's success is a group effort. Ministry needs people, and Paul needed help. But Paul did have a special role. Our passage starts with a vision. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And the vision came to Paul. No one else had this vision. It came to one person. And Paul, after all, is the apostle. He is the one to whom Jesus appeared on that road to Damascus. And the Spirit is on him, so we can expect him to receive visions for ministry. We can expect him to hear from God in that special way. This was a very disruptive vision for Paul, because Paul, in the earlier verses of chapter 9, it said he wanted to go to Bithynia. He wanted to go north. He wanted to go to this area of prosperity, an area of importance, an area of trade where things, you know, were bustling. He was planning to go to Bithynia, but then the Spirit stopped him at the door, and Jesus stopped him from going to Bithynia. And he wanted Bithynia, but God gave him Macedonia. And it was very disruptive for him because, you know, he had plans, and he had to stop. And he had to think, and he had to listen and discern. And it wasn't merely a personal vision for Paul, it was the gospel's movement into Europe. God overwhelmingly spoke to Paul, who shared it with his companions, and they felt compelled to follow it, to bring the good news to Europe. The vision is a sign of the gospel's march to the ends of the earth. It was the start of a powerful transformation of the whole continent. It was a vision that called the church to go where the gospel is needed. Come and help us. Those were the words of the man from Macedonia. Come and help us. We need the gospel. We need the life that comes from Jesus and his resurrection. We need what the Spirit has given you. And God still calls us as members of the church to go and tell the good news. It can be in unlikely places, unexpected places. It can be in places where we didn't plan to go. We planned to go to Bithynia, but God sent us to Macedonia. And God can disrupt us here too. At one point in my time here, we planned to do the Christianity Explored course. It's a course that introduces the gospel to our friends and neighbors who are curious about Jesus and about the Bible and about what Christianity teaches. And they've never had a chance to think about it. They have questions. They feel awkward asking. So they come and they go to Christianity Today and our Christianity Explored. And, you know, it goes through the book of Mark, which starts out with the line, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus the Messiah." And it explains what that good news is. So we had prepared this course, and we had leaders, and we had meal preparers, and all these things, and nobody signed up for the course. So we're going, now what? Well, the leaders thought, well, we didn't really have a lot of time to prepare ourselves for this, so let's just go through the course, a dry run, and then we'll be way better prepared to do it next time, and we'll make sure that people invite their friends to come. Good idea. Now, we had announced the course in the bulletin and from the pulpit, but we had announced the postponing of the course only in the bulletin. And unbeknown to us, somebody was watching online and said, "Hey, I'm curious about the gospel. I think I'll go to that course." And then didn't hear that it was canceled because wasn't reading the bulletin, just saw it online. So he had talked a friend into coming with him. And so on the day that we were going to just do our dry run through the Christianity Explored course, we're just getting ready, sitting down, and in come two people. And they said, "We're here for the course." And we went, we weren't planning on that. And then we quickly realized, you know what? We make our plans, but God sometimes has other plans for us. And we just said, that's it. We're doing the course. We're doing the course with these two people. One of them was a Christian. He knew all the gospel, and it was fine. But the one younger one, he was curious. He wanted to know. So we went through the course, and he came a lot closer. He wasn't ready to, you know, commit completely, but he was a lot closer to faith and still watches us online. He isn't able to join us in a large group for worship, but he participates each week online and joins the potlucks in the downtown community. You know, we were going to do one thing. We had plans to do one thing, and God had other plans to do another. Isn't that the way God works? And it has a blessed result. And it's interesting to notice that at this very point, when the gospel was crossing over into a new continent, the writer of the gospel speaks in terms of we and us. The next thing that we read is, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And here we come to the first time that we meet the author of Acts. Typically, we think of, or traditionally, we see him as Luke, the physician. And he inserts himself and others into the narrative. This may have been the place where Luke joined the team. And maybe that's even the reason why God shut the door to Bithynia, so that Paul and his team could go to Troas and meet Luke. the one who would write more of the New Testament than any other author, maybe even to become Paul's personal doctor, because Luke was a doctor. But here we notice a shift from we, or from they to we. Up to this point, it had been Paul's work. Paul went here and did this. Paul went there, and that happened. And he had colleagues, and the narrative speaks about they going there and they doing this. You know, in verse 8, it said, they came to Troas. But the colleagues seemed to have very much a secondary role to Paul. There is a team, but until this point, it was all Paul all the time. Paul is the main human actor in these stories, and now it changes. Now the gospel was about to step over a continental boundary and make its way to the ends of the earth. There's a shift. We got ready to leave at once for Macedonia and concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. It's such a subtle element in the narrative of the book of Acts that it's easily overlooked. And yet it's so encouraging for those who engage in ministry. Ministry is so often equated with those high-profile people, like ministers and elders and deacons and key leaders that can come up here and stand and speak, and they're just so gifted at all these things. And we tend to identify a hero or a big personality or a strong leader as key to success. And yet, ministry is made possible by those who are often not seen and at times not named. And our text reminds us that it takes a team for ministry to be effective. We are all co-laborers. Paul, certainly a big part of it. He is the leader, for sure. But he wasn't the only part of it. And we certainly couldn't have been successful if he was the only part of it. And so the story continues as a team. We set out by boat from Troas. We stopped in Samothrace. We set out the next day for Neapolis. We landed up in Philippi. We met a dealer in purple cloth. Paul's not alone. Silas, Timothy, and Luke, at least, are with him, joining in discernment, joining him in telling the gospel, preaching. God told us to preach the gospel. And then the ministry team expands. They meet Lydia, who comes to faith and is baptized along with her whole household. She doesn't just receive the gospel and say, cool, just give me more. Let's just have more. Let's just take in. Let's take in. Let's take in. She immediately offers what she has. Hey, let me help. Let me do what I can. Let me offer my resources. She generously opens her home, proclaiming the gospel through open doors and hospitality. And the ministry moves to a new level with new participants, and a new church is born, the first one in Europe. And Paul recognized this in his letter to the Philippian church. He starts out joyfully giving thanks to God. For what? Because you are participants in the gospel from the first day until now. That very first day when they met Lydia, she was a partner in the gospel already. And the church that he started that day at that river became a strong team with Paul. And when Paul moved on, they built their own team and carried on, actively involved in God's work in the church and in the world. They were partners with Paul, fellow workers in the kingdom. And we heard stories of partners in the gospel this morning. We heard stories of faithful people doing what God has called them to do. As we celebrate what God has done in ministry this year at Community CRC, we thank God for all those who are part of the team. We did it together. The Holy Spirit was here. God was here. We were faithful to that call. Some took on prominent, high-profile roles. Others worked behind the scenes, and they offered gifts of hospitality. Others offered gifts of patience and teaching and service and loving and caring, and yet we did it together. And God called us to tell the good news. He has moved us out into ministry. His word has opened hearts, and open hearts have resulted in open doors. And as we see so clearly today, and so clearly in Scripture, ministry is a group effort. Thank God for moving us all to serve together in Christ's name. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for moving us into ministry. Thank you for those who have come and proclaimed and started and initiated ministries, and thank you for those who carry them on. Lord, thank you for what we could hear through the ministries of the cadets and the GEMS and the Sunday school and the sermon discussion group and teen club and impact and laugh and coffee break. And Lord, there are so many other things that we're about as well, so many committees and leadership in council. And Lord, thank you for all these things that we can see your hand and your spirit blessing this church. Lord, we know it's been a hard time, a hard place in the life of our church, and yet we see your hand with us and blessing us. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.